Hello and welcome to another summary episode of the History of Yugoslav Football podcast. And it's a special one today. Well, it's a deep dive one today. Because while we'll be getting round to season previews at some point in July, one thing that we'll need explaining is around about the situation in Serbia at the moment. Because currently there's maybe not existential doubt, but we don't actually know who makes up the Serbian Superliga for the 23-24 season at the moment. Now, the season itself was meant to begin in 2.5 weeks, 21st, 22nd of July, which, to be fair, is when most seasons are actually starting in the region. So in about a fortnight, you're going to have a lot of episodes popping into your podcast queues. I apologise mentally in advance. I don't schedule these leagues. But Serbia has had to put it back a week. And it's going to be a week at least. And I was thinking that I probably would explain this all in the actual Serbian preview itself. But this week, it's expanded in scope to make what was an already, if not confusing, at least complex situation, positively migraine-inducing. So, if we start at the very beginning, as you probably will know, because we've covered this in episodes before, Kolubara were given a 9-point penalty towards the end of the season. That was for being found guilty of match-fixing. And it wasn't just one match that they fixed, it was two. Most egregiously, it was the game against Mladost Novi Sad, which, if you've seen the highlights of that, you know, do go and find them out. But it was extremely, extremely, extremely obvious that that match was not played entirely on the level. Now, the problem is that once they received that 9-point penalty, that meant that Kolubara were automatically relegated and finished the season in 15th place out of 16. So we've got two automatic relegation places and then two playoff places. That's going to be important as we go. And Kolubara have appealed to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. The Court of Arbitration for Sport have said, yes, we're accepting the appeal. We will produce a judgment on it. We will produce a judgment on it around about the 21st of July, which is when the season was meant to start. So the Serbian FA have had to react to that. And there's two elements around that they've had to react to. One, are they going to entertain the possibility of expanding the league this season because of that appeal? And two, can they start the league when it was actually originally meant to start? The answer to the second is no. They put it back a week. And presumably once the Court of Arbitrations for Sports judgment comes in, they will react very, very quickly to get an actual fixture list and stuff out there. And secondly, related to league expansion, they've said no. What that would mean is that if the Court of Arbitration for Sport find in Kolubara's favour, their 9-point penalty would be rescinded. And in effect, Kolubara would have finished 9th in the season, not 15th. Radnik, who finished 14th and won their playoff against Grafikar, would then be automatically relegated in spite of having already won their relegation playoff. And they would take Kolubara's place in the second tier as things currently stand. That then would also assume that Radnik don't appeal the decision and it doesn't get legal that way, which I would expect they probably would, just because of the nature of the thing. So that is one part of it. Now, the Serbian FA, through Branislav Nedimović, yesterday spoke out about this, basically saying that if it was the case for the Court of Arbitration for Sport to find in Colabara's favour, what that would mean is that the Serbian FA basically didn't do their job properly. Now, the concept of the Serbian FA not doing their job properly, I appreciate, may be entirely alien to a lot of people, but it's certainly not to anyone who regularly deals in Serbian football. But for that, to explain that, we sort of have to explain how UEFA's rules around match fixing works and how match fixing itself works within Serbia. Because there's two things to consider. There's bad match fixing and good match fixing, which is automatically a very silly statement to have to make, but it's one that needs to be made at this point for based on what I'm about to go into. What UEFA's integrity unit look for essentially is they're basing it on betting patterns. Then once something is identified as suspicious, they will then go and have their look and do whatever it is they do in terms of investigating. Once they send it on to a domestic FA under, I think it's Article 84, if I remember rightly, once they send that to the individual FA, what that message isn't is there's something suspicious, you need to do an investigation. What it is we've looked into this, we've done the investigation for you, we have found that this match has not been played honestly. You now need to punish. And you know, basically they're opening a disciplinary case of what action they will take, not a disciplinary case of whether they will take action. So when Kolobara Mladoš Novi Sad was brought up to the Serbian FA way back when, they will have received a note which is basically, and now our expectation is that you take action against them, which they've done. So Kolobara's case to the Court of Arbitration for Sport is essentially not that they're entirely innocent and anything like that. Obviously they do maintain their innocence, but UEFA have already found them guilty. That isn't up for debate. What's up for debate is whether the Serbian FA followed due process in actually giving them the 9-point penalty and relegating them. Now, that, I don't know as to what the outcome of that will be. They obviously must think they've got a pretty good case if they're taking it to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. And, you know, the Court of Arbitration for Sport can entirely come back and say, yes, Kolobara, you did have a part to play in the fixing of the games you were accused of fixing, but the Serbian FA didn't follow the process correctly, and as such, you're unrelegated. That is absolutely a possible thing to happen, and I hesitate to say an absolutely fine thing to happen, but it's a legally okay thing to happen, in spite of that it may not necessarily be entirely palatable to a lot of people. So I think that's one thing that's very important, just to say how that particular UEFA domestic FA relationship works. You know, there is no judgment, no anything of this that will say that Kolobara are innocent. There's not the process in this particular process for that to happen. That's already been judged upon. You know, as I say, it's solely almost like an administrative thing at this point. So that's Kolobara's situation explained. This week came a second situation, and this is an altogether more problematic situation because of how the league ended. Specifically that, we know that Kolobara finished 15th, Mladost Novi Sad finish 16th. So whatever happens here, Mladost are relegated. They're gone. They're done. They are not part of this discussion. The reason why it's very important to state that is because of the club who are now part of this discussion, Rednici Nice. What came in on Monday from UEFA was an accusation, was a report to the Serbian FA that Rednici Nice's game against Napredak was fixed, which complicates the matter quite a lot, because Nice were already in trouble after their playoff game against Ingea, which they lost the first leg 3-1, won the second leg 3-0. Ingea immediately came out making accusations that the match wasn't entirely honest. And to be entirely fair to them, they were very credible in what they said. There were multiple multiple reports of it. What they are saying, that people from Rednici Nice came and contacted the players and people within the club on an individual basis, offering them incentives to throw the game, essentially. That particular, there was an investigation opened for that in mid-June. It's not actually come back as to what is going on with that. Or at least I've certainly not seen anything, and I have been keeping an eye out for it, because knowing who's in the league next season is, you know, understandably something I should probably know. But that investigation was already going on, and that's an entirely domestic investigation. I think it's also a police investigation at this point. Much as the Colabara thing is, you know, there are a police investigation in that. So, you know, we're obviously limited in certain things we can say. Now, in terms of the Napredak game, after that particular game, Napredak came out straight away and said, we feel this game wasn't done entirely right. We feel that the referee was biased against us, so on and so forth. UEFA have done their investigation, and they would appear to agree with that. Having watched the highlights, I think it's certainly maybe a very different issue than the Colabara Mladost issue. In that particular game, you know, it was very clear that one particular side didn't put any effort into trying to get a result, whereas in Rednici Nice Napredak, it's very clear that the side who lost, Napredak in this instance, did give their all. So that if there is an accusation or, you know, allegation or, you know, something proved as to an issue with the honesty of that particular game, it's certainly not entirely, it's certainly not the same happening as happened in Colabara Mladost Novi Sad. There have been various things that have come out from this in terms of accusations. Primarily, as you can imagine, why on earth have UEFA taken 2 months to do this investigation? Why didn't they come more quickly? And the answer to that is because that's as quick, that's as long as these things take, I believe. They were able to come back with Colabara, Mladost, and a couple of other games fairly quickly because, well, because quite simply it was blooming obvious. But, you know, these investigations take as long as they take. And as I say, they sort of focus on betting patterns. In that particular game, Rednici Nice were the away side. They were also 1.6 of the decimal odds, which is about 13 to 8 on for those who work in fractionals. So they were very heavy favourites for a game where they were playing against a side who were better than them in the table. And who were the home side. So, there is an investigation ongoing on that. Napredak have, understandably, and I think fairly, protested their innocence. Rednici Nice has basically gone, said, we're saying nothing. We're not justifying this, dignifying this with a response. And Colabara, who probably, given everything, would do well to keep quiet, have said, well, doesn't this show the UEFA processes aren't up to scratch and taking so long? Maybe you should just completely remove our points deduction and we'll stay up instead. Thanks, bye. This is a problem. Because Colabara, the reason why Colabara were given a points deduction rather than fines, which other sides were given fines from the UEFA reports, is because there were multiple issues with them. The problem we have now with Rednitz Nice is that if they were in the same case, whereby there are multiple accusations laid against them, I'm not going to comment on how proven they are or not, then surely a points deduction must also follow. If there is a points deduction against Rednitz Nice, then because of the nature of the actual table, you're unrelegating Colabara by default, which is equally problematic, because you're relegating a side for being found guilty of match fixing and unrelegating a side who have been found guilty of match fixing, which doesn't really sit right with just general honesty, I think. It's very problematic. Now, the second thing to add on to all this is the manner of match fixing. I sort of hinted at this earlier. Because there's more than one way to fix a match. And one type is, I would say, fairly prevalent in Serbia. And the other type, as we've seen, is also fairly prevalent at this point of the season in Serbia. We'll talk about the sort of normal image of what you would have of a fixed match, which is a guy turns up with some cash in a brown envelope, gives it over, and then twirls their moustache dramatically. That doesn't really happen very much. I think probably the most high-profile case in recent history was Partizan when they hosted Dinamo Vranje, when Dinamo Vranje were in the top division. For those of you who don't remember Dinamo Vranje, you really missed out on that one. They were extremely entertaining, and not for the right reasons. But what found out was that the goalkeeper on that occasion had been given, I think it was €8,000, to let some goals in the first half. Now, eventually, that particular goalkeeper wasn't allowed on the bus and fled the country. And nothing ever really came of that in terms of punishment. I think they sort of said, well, you've kind of dealt with that particular issue yourselves. And the investigation didn't really go very far, aside from everyone sort of knew what happened. So that type of match fixing is what basically being alleged here, which is that there's been manipulation of betting markets, that teams have done it very knowingly, that money's changed hands to sort a particular result out. Whether that's from the clubs, from between the clubs, or whether that's from third-party actors. I think in this instance, most of the accusation is that it's people acting on behalf of the clubs. And I will say, very much acting on behalf of, not from. I don't think there's been accusations of any direct involvement from clubs. It's been indirect involvement is where the accusations have come from. The second thing, and this is where I've sort of hinted at the bad match fixing and good match fixing, what we've just talked about is the bad match fixing. The good match fixing is, and again, this is something I think is slightly less prevalent in Serbia than it was not that long ago, is that, so you have this sort of three-round system in Serbia. Everyone plays each other twice, then you split, then you go into playing your halves. And what we've seen in the past is first half of the season, Club A will play Club B. So Club B will go for an away game at Club A, and Club A will win that game. They'll have the return fixture, and Club B will win that game, and everyone sort of wins in front of their own fans, and people are happy. And that sort of informal, you have some points, we'll have some points later on, has gone on for a long time. Like I say, it's not necessarily standard that it happens anymore. I do think it's not as bad as it used to be, primarily because there are more competitive clubs in the top half than there used to be. So there's not really the morass of mid-table meh, that naturally proliferates in. That happens, and then you get to this third part of the season, and that's when the really chips down. Now, I think this season's been particularly affected by that in the bottom half of the table. At the top half of the table, things have been fairly things have been standard. Obviously, Zvezda won the title by 22 points, they won it by miles. TSC and Kukurici are, I don't think there's been any accusations laid against them. I don't think there would be because they're very much new clubs run on a very different footing to a lot of clubs in Serbia. And then there were Partizan who didn't necessarily have anything riding on things because they weren't very good. Let's be quite honest, even if they paid off a side, they'd probably still lose. that's how last season went for them. It might be how this season goes as well. Look out for that in a couple of weeks' time. In the bottom half, what you had probably this time around were uncharacteristically large clubs, specifically Rečnik. They are one of the larger clubs in Serbia, and they're not that accustomed to being in the bottom half, and certainly not that accustomed to being in danger of relegation. And there seems to have been something that's gone on. Again, there probably will be police investigations going on about this, so obviously I'm not going to throw allegations around, but I think if you were talking about a reason why this season might have been particularly affected, I think the makeup of that bottom half has definitely played a part in it. It wasn't all small clubs, and it wasn't all poor clubs as well. So the third issue around this is, so we hinted earlier at Branislav Nedimovic's comments around if the Court of Arbitration for Sport found in Golobara's favour. The third issue for this is something else he said in that same interview. Because he was asked as part of it, well, why are we hearing about it late? And his response was, not the exact quote up in front of me, but just to paraphrase, his exact quote, his, not exact quote, his paraphrased quote was, well, basically, in the past, we in the Serbian FA would have been told about this stuff, and we'd have just covered it up. We're being honest now. Which is about the least encouraging answer you could possibly hear. And I hesitate. I wonder what UEFA would think of seeing that. Saying, oh, well, great that you're being honest now, but, that's the situation that that they've been in, regrettably. In so much as, there clearly has been stuff which has gone either under the radar. I'm not going to sit here and suggest that the Serbian FA at any point has received notes of match fixing from UEFA and done absolutely nothing about it, because I think if they had done that, UEFA would have been very, 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 very annoyed and would have taken action. Which they haven't done. I think probably what is the case is that there's been fines and things like that, and they've not really publicised it. And it's been dealt with on a more informal matter than we're seeing now. I think there has to be an appreciation that the investigations that UEFA have to carry out are complex, and that these things do take time. But what we want to see going forward, obviously, is that there's a changed attitude towards this, and that the Serbian FA are going to deal with things. Whether they've entirely dealt with things correctly, or at least administratively correctly, is what we're going to find out from this Court of Arbitration for Sport case. But I think this probably really goes into the real material uncertainty of who is actually going to play in the Serbian Superliga this season. Kolarov's case is outstanding. Kolarov's position is outstanding based on the Court of Arbitration for Sport case. Radnik's place is outstanding, depending on the Court of Arbitration for Sports case. Radnišinice's case is outstanding because we don't really know what's going on with the Ingea game, and also we've got this new accusation that presumably the FA are going to act on at some point and might put a points penalty. Who really knows? Now, Predak, I will mention them just because the case isn't resolved, but I don't think there's anything coming their way. I don't think there's anything necessarily for them to be worried about. Apparently, there's also two other games that UEFA reported, but we haven't actually seen what the identity of those games are at this point. I think probably it's fair to expect that those games will have been in the bottom half of the table, because it just sort of seems that the bottom half of the table has almost had everyone at it a bit. In terms of the volume of accusations that have come out, if those two additional games were from the bottom half of the table, then I think that's five games of the 28, off the top of my head, that have been irregular, which is a pretty significant percentage. When you're getting up to around about a quarter of the games in the bottom half of the table, not being thought to be honest, that suggests quite a large problem that needs a bit more sorting out than just necessarily a couple of points penalties. So the games themselves are scheduled now to be on the final weekend of this month. Do I think that necessarily is going to happen? If the Court of Arbitration for Sport finds in Kolarov's favour, then if Radnik have any sense, they will obviously appeal that, because we're talking about appealing the decision to relegate them when they've won a playoff. It's not, quite aside from there needing to be the points penalty in the first place to Golubara, quite aside from the investigation from UEFA, Radnik won a playoff. If they get relegated, that is really, really unfair. And I appreciate fairness isn't a legal concept, but it's mean, isn't it? If Radnik are found guilty of something, then surely Ingea, who they beat in the playoffs, will have a case to say, well, why aren't we coming up? All these things are things that could potentially delay the league further, particularly Radnik's, because we're talking about a Court of Arbitration for Sport case that would report on the 21st of July. So that's when Radnik can start turning around and saying, oi, don't relegate us if they were to be relegated, because the Serbian FA's vision is very much they aren't adding additional teams to the league. What we might end up with, potentially, depending on how things go, is maybe that they do have to relent and have extra teams in the league, and we go up to 18 and include Radnišinice, Radnik, Kolarov, and Ingea, just to ensure that all the potentially injured parties in this can be included in the league. And then you sort of, no one can really argue too much with that. Well, people will argue, it's Serbian football, but no one's really losing out there. But I think the path to get there would mean delaying the season further. But if you're delaying the season further, really then you're in a position where you have to lose a couple of games. And if you end up with a 18-team league and 34 games rather than the 16 and 37, it probably sort of balances itself out in terms of giving yourself a bit of sorting things out time. That is that for explaining that. And I think you can understand why I didn't want to do this as part of the season preview episode. because it was long. And I didn't want to take up a half an hour of that with this. So thank you very much for taking the time to listen. I hope that provides a bit of background on what's going on at the moment. If you did enjoy it, do leave a review or share with people. But yes, thank you very much for taking the time to listen. And I will catch you next time.